couple of weeks ago, I was changing my infrared light on our water system at our house. And so we are on a well and we have this water filter, and then there's a infrared light that burns all the bacteria so that we don't get sick. And so it's in this silver like cylinder. And so I pulled it out, put the new one in. Of course, I turned all the water pressure off, put it back in, sealed it, screwed it down, turned the water pressure on, and man, water just came flowing out of that silver cylinder. And so I shut the system down again, I took it apart, and I was trying to figure this thing out, and I couldn't figure this out. And in fact, you know, my plumbing knowledge is kind of puddle deep. It's not ocean deep. And after trying, and I YouTubed and, you know, went on YouTube looking for various sources to try to figure this thing out, I came to the conclusion that I can't do this. Kind of like what you see in the picture that is before you this morning. I can't do this. I can't figure this out. I can't fix the problem. I'm not equipped with the right kind of knowledge to fix it. I mean, how many of us have ever been at a point in life where we say, I can't do this? It might not always be something we announce, but nonetheless, it screams loudly in our hearts. The task before me has outsmarted me. It's bigger than what I can handle. So what do you do in those situations? You should call a friend. So what did I do? I called Mr. Plumber, and I was conversing with him on the phone and saying, my infrared light, I replaced it and I resealed it, and now I turn the water pressure on, and it's all flowing all over the place, and so what do I do? And in about 10 minutes, he walked me through a process, and I was able to fix that problem, and I changed my mantra from, I can't do this, to, we can do this. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing this series called Rebuild, Renew, Restore. Answering the question, what do we do in a world that can collapse? And I've said repeatedly, of course, there's lots of great things in this world, but I think that all of us can look out on the landscape of life and say, you know, there's stuff that needs to be restored. There's stuff that needs to be renewed. And whether it's a relationship or a team context or family, business, a ministry on campus, it's a roommate situation, it's a marriage situation, it's something very personal, I think all of us can look out and say, there's stuff that needs to be fixed. There's stuff that needs to be restored. Our text that we've been operating out of is found in the book of Nehemiah. And so if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn there. Nehemiah was this Jewish guy. He was a cupbearer for the Persian king. And Babylon, the Jews were in captivity. They weren't really living in the land as they wanted to live in. They were under the boot of Persia, so to speak. And Nehemiah had been told about something that needed to be fixed. And if you've been tracking with us over the last couple of weeks, you know that Nehemiah heard about the walls that had crumbled, the walls that had come down, and he literally needed to rebuild the walls. And so we've been asking this question, you know, what do you do in a world of collapse? And so for week one, we talked about draw near, stay near. We talked about the issue of prayer, how important that is. And then last week, we talked about get plumb, stay plumb, which is the Word of God. Well, today, if you've ever looked at your fallen walls, whatever those might be, if you've ever looked at something and said, I can't do this, then you should not only resonate with where we've been over the last 2 weeks, but I think you'll really resonate with where we're going today. And here's what I want to talk to you about today. As we come to the book of Nehemiah, it's this, shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder says, well, means I can't do this, but we can do this. I can't do this, but with a little help from my friends, perhaps we can move forward. I can't do this, but with your plumbing expertise, we can fix the infrared light and turn the water pressure back on. How many of you would say, as you think about this idea of shoulder to shoulder, this is so true, it is so true, the importance of shoulder to shoulder when living in a world where there is lots that needs to be fixed. How many would say that doing shoulder to shoulder is not always easy though, because it is sometimes hard to open up about that infrared light problem in our lives? How many would say that it's sometimes hard to know who to trust, who to go to shoulder with? How many would say that shoulder to shoulder has been deeply compromised and taken a hard hit in this season of COVID? I mean, we are shoulder to shoulder challenged, some people would say. Doing relationships is difficult. And yet, if we want to move forward, if we want to rebuild, restore, whatever that might be, whatever your walls are that have come down, or as we've used over the last couple of weeks, the twin towers that have collapsed, whatever that might be in your life, how do we rebuild? Shoulder to shoulder is absolutely essential. Well, in Nehemiah chapter 3, this is what I would entitle our shoulder to shoulder chapter. In my Bible, it's entitled Rebuilding the Walls because, well, Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem after getting permission from the king. He inspects the walls. He concludes, yeah, these are a mess. He recruits the people, and chapter 3 tells us about the rebuilding process. You'll see this graph up, this picture of the walls that are being described, some of them being described in this chapter. And I just want to read to you the first seven verses. I'm not going to read to you all 32 verses of chapter 3 because it's a long chapter and it's a long list of names. But I just want to read the first seven verses and just to see if you can make some observations. In fact, I'm not going to read seven verses. I'll read just the first five and try and get the names proper here. It says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hasanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hikoz, repaired. And next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshzabel, told you these names are hard, repaired. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, repaired. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. Now, I'm not going to read any more of that chapter just because the names are really hard, but if you were to make some observations, you know, what observations might you make in the first five or six verses? Well, actually, you'd have to read the whole chapter to figure this out, that it starts in verse 1 with the sheep gate. And if you look at this chart on the screen, you'll see where the sheep gate is up top. And this chapter moves counterclockwise so that by the time you come to the end of the chapter, verse 32, you're back at the sheep gate. So that would be one observation you would make if you read the entire chapter. Another observation that you would make is that, well, there are some really hard names to pronounce. And that would be a simple observation. Another observation is that these gates have some interesting names. Like there's the sheep gate, which was probably the gate that the sheep came in when they were going to the temple for sacrifice. There was the fish gate, which is believed to be the gate where fish came in, or they didn't actually walk in or swim in, but they were carried in, they had been caught, and they go to the fish market. And then there was the dung gate, where the human excrement and garbage was taken out of the city and taken off to what was called then the Hinnom Valley. And so there are these various gates. What else would you note? Well, if you read the entire chapter, you'd note that Nehemiah is a great organizer, and he assigned everyone a specific place to work. And you would note that in this chapter, it repeatedly uses phrases like next to him, or next to them, or next to that, or the next section, or beside him, and beyond them. Over 28 times, these phrases referring to what? That people were shoulder to shoulder to shoulder to shoulder as they were rebuilding these walls. Another thing you would note if you did a little bit of work, assignments were made to people who were near those particular places. So if you had a home near that gate or that part of the wall, it seems like Nehemiah assigned you to that wall. Why? Because you would have a vested interest. You wouldn't have a far distance to commute to rebuild these walls. And if there was an attack, you might be really concerned about protecting that part of the wall because your house is right there. You would also note that not only did people in Jerusalem rebuild the temple, but people who lived outside of Jerusalem came in to rebuild the temple. People from Jericho, Tekoa, Gibeon, Mizpah, the text tells us. And then also assignments were made in some cases based on vocation. So the high priest and his fellow priests had a vested interest in the sheep gate because that's where the sheep would come through to go to the temple. And so they were assigned rebuilding that part of the wall. One writer says this, Nehemiah skillfully divided the workforce into some 40 manageable work crews organized by common interests and geography. So for all of you people out there that are administrative crackpots who love organizing things, you guys would love Nehemiah. I mean, he's super organized. They were literally, though, shoulder to shoulder, because alone they could have said, I can't do this. But together they said, we can do this. So the question is, what do we do in a world that is collapsed? What do we do when we look at things in our life and we say, that needs to be rebuilt? There's restoration that is needed there. The answer to the question is, we need to be shoulder to shoulder. We need to be community. And Nehemiah 3 is just an excellent illustration of whether you're rebuilding walls or rebuilding issues of your heart or in a marriage relationship, whatever it is, we need to be shoulder to shoulder. Now, I don't think that really needs much debate, but I think there's a really key question that comes out of understanding the importance of shoulder to shoulder. And the key question is that we need to be asking each other is, who is next to you? Who's next to you? If shoulder to shoulder is so important in the world in which we live, it was certainly important in the day of Nehemiah, then the question is, who is next to you? Whose shoulder is next to you? We might not be rebuilding a wall, but we're needing help building something. Who's next to you? If you cannot answer that question in a positive manner, if you cannot identify people who are next to you, where you can share your heart, where they are safe people, where you can really be extremely vulnerable, if you cannot answer that question in the affirmative, then I would simply say that you are a very, very dangerous person. Not like you're going to go out and kill somebody, but dangerous in the sense that you may not be the healthiest person in the world processing all the of life that happens to you. You need people next to you. Who is next to you? I mean, it's such an important question because we are so much stronger together than we are apart. Would you not agree with that? This picture in Nehemiah may look like a bunch of novices, but notice what the text tells us. I mean, they are a team coming together of novices in many ways, but there is tremendous strength. In Nehemiah chapter 6, for example, in verse 15, it talks about the finishing up of the wall, and it says this: so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. Writers and commentators and historians who understand the size of this wall, the thickness of the wall, the height of this wall, and the workforce would say this was done considerably fast. See, we're stronger together, aren't we? We're better together, smarter together, more able together, healthier together, shoulder to shoulder. This is an important question: who's next to you? Because when we come together, we bring a lot of strength to each other as we are shoulder to shoulder. When I think of strength and being together, I think of Niagara Falls, this picture that, you know, we all know where Niagara Falls is. In fact, my parents, long time ago now, 65 plus years ago, that was where their honeymoon was, Niagara Falls. Now, if I asked you, imagine that you're standing along the shoreline of Niagara Falls, and I said, I want you to jump in to the flowing river that, you know, that is a torrent of water and high speed and volume and is rushing over the falls. I just said, would you jump in? Probably not, right? Why not? Well, let me give you some statistics on Niagara Falls. There's 3,160 tons of water flows over Niagara Falls every second. Every second, 3,160 tons of water goes over the falls. During the periods of peak flow in the summer and fall, more than 700,000 gallons of water per second pour over Niagara Falls. Power generation facilities along the Niagara River supply more than 1/4 of all power used in New York State and Ontario. 50 to 75% of the water flowing along the Niagara River is diverted from going over the falls to hydroelectric power generation stations. So if I told you, hey, would you jump into Niagara Falls? Of course you wouldn't, because of the amount of water and the speed, the volume in which that water is moving. But if I told you to come up here and I took just this little dab of water and I sprinkled you, and did you see that little droplet? I kind of doubt that you would run and hide, and I don't think I would need to throw you a life jacket, because you're getting massacred by the little droplets of water. There would be no threat in that particular context. Well, who is next to you? It's such an important question, because we are so much stronger together, aren't we? We're stronger together, like volumes of water in Niagara Falls. We're better together, smarter together, more able together, healthier together, shoulder to shoulder. You see, walls don't get rebuilt with me or with a me. Walls get rebuilt with a we. There's no such thing as being self-made. We need each other. We're stronger together. And would you not agree that part of that strength is because of diversity? I mean, the cooperative work of the remnant on the wall in Nehemiah 3 was quite evident. As you read through Nehemiah chapter 3, there were Levites and rulers and artisans and merchants and sons and daughters and young and old people and goldsmiths and perfume makers and who labored side by side to refortify the walls. How would you like to be beside a perfume maker as you're trying to rebuild the wall? Diversity. And that lends itself to strength. I mean, who is next to you? Who is next to you? And as you think about the person who's next to you, if you're able to answer this question in the affirmative, are you surprised or grateful for God, who has God brought alongside you in terms of diversity? See, one of my experiences when in seasons of I can't do this is I need different to help me rebuild the wall. We have a common focus, belief, but it's their set of eyes that help me see things that I can't see. Their skill set helps me accomplish things I could not do. As you think about the person or the persons who are next to you, are you not grateful that their skill, their perspective is different so they can contribute in ways that you could not? You may not appreciate it all the time. In fact, it may rile you and offend you, but you need those words that they provide offered to you. You need that counsel. You need that perspective. You need their strength. I remember a couple of years ago, in fact, it was just last summer, one of our walls in our house overlooking the backyard, you if you got close to it, you could hear this noise. And I think, can you hear that on the microphone here? And it was, and as you would put your ear up to the wall, it was like, what's going on in there? It's like, is there another family living in this house, but between the walls? And what we discovered was we had a bad case of carpenter ants. In fact, the company that came in to fix the problem, they'd said they'd never seen such a big nest of carpenter ants. Now, when I had this problem, when I discovered I got a problem, what did I do? I didn't call out people just like me. I didn't call up people and say, hey, I don't know anything about repairing this wall. If you don't know anything about repairing walls, can you come and help me? I didn't look for someone and say, hey, I know nothing about replacing windows. If you know nothing about replacing windows, then I'd love you to come and replace my windows. I know nothing about carpenter ants. If you know nothing about carpenter ants, can you come and help solve that problem? I know nothing about reapplying siding to the walls of my house. And if you know nothing, can you come and help me? No, that would be just absolutely insane. I'm not looking for people who know nothing like I know nothing about that particular problem. I'm looking for, what am I looking for? I'm looking for different. Diversity brings strength. So what might that look like in your situation? Well, someone perhaps who will come alongside you and ask a different set of questions that might help you. Someone who comes at the issue with a different perspective. Someone who is younger than yourself. Someone who is older. Someone who is on the outside looking in. Someone who brings energy, because sometimes we get tired and we need energy. Or someone who will lend you their hope, me their hope. I don't feel very hopeful right now, but I need your hope. Can you lend it to me? Someone who can help me perhaps take a step back and take a different perspective or see the bigger picture. See, who is next to you? Really, really important question. Because of the strength that comes to you, like Niagara Falls, not just a little droplet of water, but the force and the volume, hugely important question because of the strength that comes to you. But it's a hugely important question because of the pushback that comes against you when you try to rebuild anything. Now, we see this truth not just in Nehemiah, but elsewhere in Scripture, that sometimes life is like going uphill. Sometimes life is like walking into a fierce wind. I love Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12. It says this, And it just talks about the importance of shoulder to shoulder. It talks about the reality that sometimes life is hard and we need each other. He says, the writer says, it's better to have a partner than it is to go alone. Share the work, share the wealth. And if one falls down, there's the pushback, right? The other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in a bed warm each other. Alone, you shiver all night. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. Well, notice in our text, Nehemiah, there was all kinds of pushback and there was resistance as they were trying to build the walls. There was all kinds of trouble. Nehemiah chapter 4, the chapter talks about the opposition to the work, and then we're just going to pick it up in verse 15. And just notice this picture of the pushback that comes against a person when trying to push forward. So when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan because there was this pushback, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail, and the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah. By the way, coats of mail, I did a quick search on that and I didn't come up with any answers. So coats of mail, there you go. I'm not sure what that is. And so leaders of Judah, and so who were bulking on the wall, building on the wall. And so these guys have spears and swords. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. So get that, you're working with one hand and you got a weapon in the other. Why? Because there's pushback whenever you're trying to rebuild. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. And so there were some occupations on the wall where you needed both hands, and so they strapped it, the sword, on their side. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, Nehemiah says. Some believe that he was kind of like security guard because there were threats on Nehemiah's life, which we'll see in a second. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, our God will fight for us. So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. All kinds of pushback. You never are able to rebuild without some kind of pushback. There was tons of pushback in Nehemiah's day. Look at this slide. It just lists. There were false accusations of workers. There was the ridicule of workers. There was a plot to attack the workers. There was physical exhaustion and the threat of murder. There was a plot to assassinate or at least harm Nehemiah. There was slander against Nehemiah. There was a plot to discredit Nehemiah. I mean, would you agree? Whether it's walls or relationships or whatever it is, there is often pushback. Moving forward is never free. There's always a cost. You never just fall into growth. You never just like slip like on a banana peel into advancement. You never just kind of tumble into success. You never blindly walk into mental health or trip into a healthy marriage or relationship or wish yourself into a healthy team without making any effort or into a healthy church. There is work involved. And often there's tons of pushback. So let me illustrate this a number of ways. Some of you are trying to rebuild, restore, perhaps in the area of personal wholeness. You've walked through a season that has kind of assassinated your self-confidence, perhaps failure. And now you're trying to kind of get that back, kind of pull things back in together. You need shoulder to shoulder. You need people who will labor with you with one hand and holding the weapon in the other. Because I will guarantee you that the enemy of your soul and other factors and sources will attack you, will try to drop thoughts and thinking into your mind that are counterproductive. If you are trying to rebuild to personal wholeness, shoulder to shoulder is so important. You can't do it without it. There's no self-made man, self-made woman. Some of you might be trying to rebuild a relationship of some kind. There can be all kinds of discouragement, all kinds of reasons why perhaps you should quit right now, give up. For example, if you're rebuilding trust. When trust is broken, man, that's tricky. If you break a leg, the doctor might say 6 to 8 weeks, and you should be able to walk on it again, or whatever the number is. But you break trust in a relationship, there's no number. There's no number of weeks that it takes to rebuild trust. That's just a very complex issue. You need shoulder to shoulder in that. Or what about rebuilding a relationship where forgiveness is needed on both sides? As I say, forgiveness may open the door to move forward, but now you need to be committed to the path. So you may walk through the door of forgiveness in a relationship, both of you may, but to stay on the path of forgiveness and walk it out on a daily basis, guess what? You need shoulder to shoulder. You need people to say, hey, you're getting off the path, and to keep you on that path. Who is next to you? That's such an important question, not only because of the strength that comes to you, but the pushback that comes against you. And when you have shoulder to shoulder, you have strength to address the pushback. Some of you, for example, as we think about why we need strength and the pushback, some of you are your own worst enemy. You have a habit of sabotaging any forward movement. You don't need anyone to beat you up because you do it really well yourself. You say, see this black eye? I gave it to myself. See this fat lip? I gave it to myself. If you have no one shoulder to shoulder with you, then you are left all alone trying to fight back the pushback. And sometimes that pushback can just be our own self and our own voice. You need Niagara Falls in order to move ahead. Some of you are coming back to faith, and you need shoulder to shoulder strength to come back and stay back, because there's a lot about what you perhaps stepped into and are now trying to step out of that is addictive and attractive and enticing and alluring, and you're never going to get off that bad path that you went down, and you're never going to stay off it. You're never going to be delivered from it. You're never going to find freedom unless you're shoulder to shoulder. It's a real hard road to negotiate when you're alone. Some of you are coming to faith in Christ. Some of you are considering faith in Christ. And I would say you need to go shoulder to shoulder. I think of Andrew. Jesus called Andrew to himself. And then Andrew had a brother by the name of Peter, Cephas. And what did Andrew do? Andrew went and got Peter shoulder to shoulder and brought him to Christ. Some of you who are on your journey to Christ, you will need someone to help you on that journey to faith. One of the reasons we're having our mental health Sunday, October the 17th, is because of this principle, shoulder to shoulder. We need to talk about this together, find safe community to journey together on these kinds of issues. So who is next to you? Who is next to you? Who's on the wall? Whatever that wall might be. And you look to your left, and you look to your right, shoulder to shoulder, and there are people committed to building with you whatever you're building, whatever you're rebuilding. And it's an important question, because the strength that comes to you, but because the reality of the pushback that will come against you whenever you try to restore and rebuild something. You know, I thought to myself, you know, what are the biggest lies we believe that prevent us from getting, you know, that shoulder beside us? Because for some of you, as you listen to this today, there's all kinds of resistance to being in authentic community. And some people say things like this: well, I got this, you know, I don't need anybody, or they wouldn't understand, so why would I ever disclose? Or it's just too much work to go shoulder to shoulder, or I don't have time, you know, no one is as messed up as me. I'd be shamed if I actually had to share what I was kind of working through. Or you know, that's a great idea, Mark. I think it's a terrific idea, and I'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow I'll say I'll do that tomorrow, and you get the idea where that goes. Or you might say, there's no one I can trust. You see, I think one of the strategies of the enemy is found in one word. And it's this word: isolation. Isolation. Isolation, use whatever illustration you want here, but as I was thinking about it, isolation to a believer is what fire is to a dry forest. It will destroy you. Isolation. to a believer is what fire is to a dry, dry forest. It will destroy you. Separation can sabotage what God wants to do in you and through you. So no wonder there are several admonitions, models in the Old Testament, scriptures in the New Testament, admonition to go shoulder to shoulder. You know, that day when I was working on my plumbing, you remember the story of where I have puddle depth knowledge of plumbing, not ocean depth knowledge of plumbing. I called out to my plumber after I tried to go shoulder to shoulder with YouTube, and that didn't work. I called the plumber, and the plumber helped me fix it. And I started off with, I can't do this. And I changed my mantra by noon to, we can do this. And I turn the water pressure back on, and boom, it all works. Now, I can't do this may sound like weakness, but it's actually a sign of great strength, a healthy acknowledgement which can lead to great places. You know, think of the gospel, just as we close here. Think of the gospel. It's key in coming to faith in Jesus that you don't say, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. I can deal with my own sin. I can somehow stand before a holy God, and I can make that right, and I can earn my own salvation. No. I would say this. Faith starts with, I can't. And as soon as I acknowledge I can't, then God begins to do a work in our life. It's an acknowledgement. At the heart of the gospel, our response is, I can't. But the gospel says, God did it for us. And so when I say, I can't, it's actually a sign of real strength in the sense that I'm able to acknowledge my weakness. And then God steps in, and we move together. So here's the assignment this week. Going to give you some practical stuff as we finish up here. I want you to go from this place, Church Online, YouTube, as you're watching this digitally. Here's the challenge. I want you this week to ask someone who is next to you. Who's next to you? And if they answer in the negative, then could you offer them help? Could you say, hey, can I help you get someone next to you? Can I help you get into community? Can I help you not be in isolation, which is a dangerous place? Who is next to you? And if the answer is negative, nobody, can I help you? We want to give you some resources to help yourself or others get shoulder to shoulder. And so in just the last few moments here, we're going to have a video is going to play. And this video is just going to talk about some shoulder to shoulder opportunities that are out there for students. We have a lot of students connected to Bethel. We partner with lots of campus ministries. We're all on the same team. So I just want you to watch this video as a resource for some of you who will say, hey, I want to connect with that person, those people, because that would be a great shoulder-to-shoulder opportunity that I can offer to someone or I can engage with myself. So watch this video. So hopefully that was helpful. Not only do we have campus ministry shoulder-to-shoulder opportunities, but we have lots of opportunities here right at Bethel. We have a number of ministries that are shoulder-to-shoulder ministries, life groups we call them. We have a developing women's focus. We have something for women that is Thursday mornings in the library. We have a group of women who are in training so that we can launch life groups, shoulder-to-shoulder women's groups, addressing particular issues for women. We have a men's ministry called Next Level. We have, I think, 5-6 life groups where men gather. And because sometimes it's important for women just to be with women and men just to be with men. And then, of course, we have a whole bunch of groups that are mixed, men and women, singles and marrieds, old and young, coming together to study the scripture and to serve the city and to love each other. So on that theme of men's ministry, men's discipleship, I want you to watch this video and what Brian has to say. And for some of you men out there, this might be your shoulder-to-shoulder opportunity that you need to take advantage of. So watch this video. And so hopefully that might be something for several men. The last two groups that I want to feature are what we call our short-term groups. Every fall, winter, and spring sessions, we offer 2 to 3 short-term groups. You kind of dip your toe in for 6 to 8 weeks, and then you're out. And then hopefully where that leads is a long-term commitment to a life group. And there are two really, really important life groups, short-term life groups. The first one is on family. The second one is really on being prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. It's an equipping type video. So just watch these two trailers. It'll be back to back. And some of you might want to take advantage of that shoulder-to-shoulder opportunity. So hopefully that's helpful. Hopefully if you ask the question, who's next to you, and someone says, nobody, you can say, hey, I've got some resources. Or perhaps if you're that person that says, nobody, they're the resources. It is on you to take the initiative to reach out and to contact those emails that were shared on the screen. We want to help you get shoulder to shoulder. Now, as we close online here, we want to pray together for our shoulder to shoulder ministry. We have dozens and dozens of people that come together, and we have a heart and a desire and an intention that as we gather, it's not just a kumbaya, but that people are really growing in Christ. And a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on Jacob and his encounter at Bethel. He named the place Bethel because that's where he encountered God. And we made this acrostic that really speaks to what we want God to accomplish at Bethel these days. And I think it really gets at the heart of what we want to happen in life groups as we go shoulder to shoulder. So in your living room, on your couch, or wherever you are right now as you're listening to this, will you read this? You'll see it come up on the screen. I'm going to read the bold print, and then I'll also read the light print. But if you would read that section with me as we ask God, God, invade our shoulder-to-shoulder spaces this fall, and may these be places where we experience Bethel. So will you pray with me, and will you read with me the light print as we move through this closing prayer? Lord, as we choose to be shoulder to shoulder, we ask that you would do the following amongst us this year: to believe in you and your promises. Lord, we ask that many would believe in you and your promises in this new year of ministry, shoulder to shoulder. We pray that we would experience you in all areas of life. We ask that you would meet people, engage with their hearts and minds. Might they say as Jacob did, surely the Lord is in this place, shoulder to shoulder. We pray that we would be transformed in the midst of spiritual battle. May no work of the enemy or strategy of the kingdom of darkness hinder, harm, or derail people's pathway of spiritual growth. Shoulder to shoulder. We pray that we would be impacted by your holiness. May Jesus be glorified in all that is said and done. Might the beauty and holiness of God impress, challenge, and fill the hearts of your people, shoulder to shoulder. We pray that we would enter into deeper commitment. Lead us into deeper commitment. May our devotion to you be unrivaled by all that which calls to us, shoulder to shoulder. And we pray that we would surrender to your lordship. We declare your lordship over 314 Johnson Street and all the places and spaces where the ministry of Bethel unfolds, and over all the partners with whom we work, shoulder to shoulder. And now all together, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So say that with me one more time as we close. You ready? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Shoulder to shoulder. God bless. Have a great week.